For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, good stuff.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Logan, it's time to bring in our man Chip Towers from the AJC's, or the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the AJC.com.
Our man Chip Towers, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. We're personally enjoying the bye week. I know it's going to be a little rough without Georgia football this Saturday, but I think we all could use a breather, yourself included, as you've been working your tail off these last couple days. Now, I know the work never stops for you, but I guess we'll just jump right into the gun and ask you, what are your just initial takeaways from what was otherwise a night a lot of people are going to remember in Sanford Stadium this last weekend?
Well, you know, I'm sorry, Logan, it's past 24 hours.
So there you go.
I can't talk about Notre Dame anymore. I'm looking ahead to Tennessee.
Fair enough. Kirby's got you trained.
It really was, you know, an incredible evening. I mean, all of us who were there, I think, and all of us who had a part of it, there was a particular third and 11 play that Notre Dame ran. I actually tweeted at the time that I thought that might have been the loudest that I'd ever heard Sanford Stadium, you know. And I question that little decibel board that Sanford Stadium puts up there on the Jumbotron now, but after they had Todd Gurley beating Nick Chubb in the ovation category the previous week. But based on my own decibel meters in my head, it seemed like the loudest that I had ever heard it. But of course, there was the LED lights and just the environment, the tailgate situation, because the game lasted so long and I had to do an interview at 11 o'clock in the morning. It was the first time in a long time where I got to hang out and tailgate and hang out with some friends a little bit, waiting for kickoff to get there, which it seemed like it took forever. And a lot of Notre Dame people were around, and that's what we're finding out kind of after the fact. It's hard to tell during the day, but there was just a lot of goodwill, I think, between the Notre Dame fans and the Georgia fans, before, during, and after the game, even though it was a really intense game. And that's the one thing a lot of Georgia fans I know wanted to see the line covered and things like that. But I got to tell you, that was a really competitive, hard-hitting game, and that I thought Notre Dame played really well given the circumstances. They didn't obviously handle the moment as well as Brian Kelly would have liked with all the noise and everything. But I mean, the competition, the mano-a-mano and all that kind of stuff couldn't have been any better. So whatever you want to take away from Notre Dame kind of playing Georgia on an even keel, I thought it was a great game and could have been a little bit more lopsided than the final score would indicate. But, it is what it is, and Georgia came out with the W, and it was a good one.
Talking with Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC.com. Chip, what was your, if you know, and I think you have written about it, how long this has all been going on to get Georgia to where it was Saturday night as far as the lights and the, I call it now Club DS, Club Dooley Sanford. It's like a kind of a disco to an extent. But, I mean, this is not something that you just come up with in a few days and decide to do it. So what was the genesis of all of this and, to get where we were on Saturday? Because I tell you what, it was quite the show. And I agree with you, between the two of us, we've seen a lot of Georgia football games. And that's as loud and just the best environment that I've ever seen at Sanford Stadium.
Yeah, the best I can recall, it was kind of it wasn't something that a big deal was made of during the board meeting. I remember it coming up, and I believe it was last fall's board meeting. Now, don't hold me to that, but Josh Brooks did a presentation, And it was really kind of matter of fact and you know, unanimously approved like most everything is by the athletic board. But, you know, Josh Brooks did a presentation, Georgia's number two guy under Greg McGarrity, and basically saying, you know, this is something that, you know, we've learned about and some other schools are doing. And, you know, we think that it can add a lot to the environment. And it was approved, and I can't remember. It wasn't one of those numbers that knock you over. I mean, these numbers nowadays that they throw around, like the $80 million football building they're about to come out of the ground with, it wasn't anything like, I mean, I think it was a million or so that, hey, we can add these lights. And I remember there being questions about, so you can turn these things off and back on, because remember that used to be a big deal. In games, I mean, if your lights went out, if you had a stadium, I mean, you had lightning or something happen that knock out some stadium lights, you know, it may take, you know, 10 minutes or so to get them warmed up and back on. These aren't those type of lights, obviously. And, you know, it was fascinating. And I thought it worked great. And they practiced it, you know, all week long, actually all month long. Georgia, if you've gone by Georgia at night in different times, you would see those red lights on. You'd see them come on and come off because they had to make sure this worked, right? This was a big night. You know, this was a Broadway play, as Dave, we know you like to go to. They couldn't have any electrical outages or anything crazy like that happen. I thought they worked great. And everybody I talked to, the social media reaction, the people I talked to, you know, even old geezers were like, wow, the lights were incredible, and they loved them. I haven't heard anybody say they didn't like them yet. Kirby was funny about it. You know, he said a couple of times he thought the lights were going out, you know, and you know, when you're trying to concentrate in between plays and in between quarters, perhaps it could be a little distracting, but I know for the fans, they loved it, and it was great.
Chip, I'm hearing rumors that Alabama liked them so much, they're going to copy Georgia. They're going to get those lights as well. Are you hearing that?
No, I don't know.
That's rumor on the street.
Well, you know, and it's funny because, of course, the Bama fan base was saying right away, look, Georgia's copying us, and, you know, you know, the way it works, you know, really nationally, you know, in college sports, I mean, it's such a big-time business. Oh, there's so much money coming into the game, and particularly in the SEC, and these companies, they're passing it in front of everybody. And you know, let's face it, they're not going to give the money – to the players. They can't do that because of amateurism, so they're going to put it in lights and stadiums and buildings and coaches, and that's, you know, this is where the money's going to go.
I would
seem like money well spent.
I was going to say, I bet there's a lot of stadiums out there that had not had plans that will probably have them next year after what they saw this weekend. But all right, to the game itself, Chip, I thought Kirby Smart said something a little bit interesting this week in his post, I guess maybe it's Tuesday or maybe it's Monday press conference, where he said that he admitted they were not getting the plays into Jake Fromm and the offense as fast as they would have liked, which I think would explain a lot in terms of maybe not as many checkdowns or audibles and the game itself affected. How much does that affect the game? And I guess the obvious answer, how do they work on that to get that right before they have another big game before they can do that?
Well, you know, maybe it was those lights in between plays. You know, he couldn't see the signals. No, that was an interesting wrinkle, I think. And you could see it. I actually watched some of the replay last night. I watched the whole replay, I was sad to admit. But I hadn't had a chance to rewatch it since the game had first come out, and I didn't initially record it. So I actually watched it last night, and you could see where that affected things a few times. Guys, you know, I appreciate signals and calls from the press box, but it's almost that the way Jake Fromm has gotten to where he knows this offense, you almost don't need the signals. You could just about let him go out there and just call the game with a handful of plays and let him check in or out of it, left, right, pass, run, you know, that kind of thing. But he did change a lot of plays as it was. You know, I don't know. I, you know, one of these times I'm going to have to go back and see if there's any way to figure out how many times he audibles. Obviously, you can't be sure unless you knew exactly what plays were scripted on every single down. But it looked to me like he changed a lot of plays as it was. And guys, I don't know if y'all talked about it. I didn't have a chance to listen to all of your broadcasts this week, but Jake Fromm played a whale of a game. I mean, he really did. I mean, it's even in the first half when he goes 11 of 12, I think it was, for 54 yards or 59 yards. Obviously, you know, they were doing a lot of dinking and dunking. And look, that was the plan. The reality is this is, again, where Notre Dame played really, really well. And they had some players that you know, I had no idea they were as good as they were out on the perimeter. Their defensive backs, some of their linebackers that are brand new, came through and played really, really well. But Georgia was, so close that they made great tackles. Notre Dame, a couple of times, tackles for losses. If those guys don't make those tackles, Georgia's players are still running. You know, once it was DeAndre Swift, another time it was Dominic Blaylock, another time it was Matt Landers. I saw what Georgia was doing, and it was good, but sometimes you just got to tip your hat. And, I mean, Notre Dame was absolutely jacked in this game, too, and they made some incredible defensive plays to prevent Georgia from having some really, really big plays early in that game that could have swung it wide open.
Talking with Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC.com. Chip, before we let you go, a couple of quick questions and get your thoughts on seems like the two big things that came out of the game. One, Notre Dame faking the injuries. I wanted to get your take on that. And the other was Georgia going for it on that fourth and one late in the game, maybe instead of trying to put it away and instead kicking the field goal. But what's a lot of the stuff you've heard from those two things?
Well, I definitely understand Kirby's play, having Rodrigo kick the field goal there, because of what we've seen, not just in that game, but in recent years with Georgia on fourth and short. You talk about another guy who had a great game. I mean, Rodrigo Blankenship, it's unbelievable. Again, rewatching the game last night, those kicks he made, they were just no nonsense, man. I mean, there was no question at any moment, whether it was the 43-yarder or the 41-yarder or the 31-yarder, they were all just right down Lumpkin, as Brad Nessler said. And when you got a guy like that, you know, points are points. I don't care if you do the two-score, three-score game. But all that said, you know, that fourth and 1 yard is everything about Georgia under Kirby Smart. So from that standpoint, I was really surprised that he didn't go for it. I fully expected him to. Y'all were in there at the time, the momentum. I thought Notre Dame was on its heels a little bit tired. And, you know, it's not just what everybody talks about. It's kind of like with the Falcons and their problems with fourth and short. I would like to see some really good plays on fourth down, right? Because Georgia always seems to be, you know, between the tackles on that fourth and short, and they're getting stuffed on it. And I think what we've learned in college football the past few years, whether Georgia's playing Florida or Missouri or Notre Dame, is, you know, if you're committed enough, you can stop a run. I don't care how big your line is and how good your backs are. You can get somebody in every gap, and they can't, you know, they just can't overwhelm them as much as like. I'd like to see a really good play. Now, what play it is, I don't know. It's easy for me to say, but that's why they practice every day. And I was surprised they didn't go there. And I thought that would have really, number one, it would have put the game away more effectively from a point standpoint. But really, psychologically, it would have been a knockout blow. The injury thing. Look, guys, it's been going on forever. Ever since we started doing spread and speed up, every team, Kirby would never admit it, that Georgia does, they've got a signal for get down. The other side of it is, now I can't 100% say that either one of those players was not really hurt. And sometimes what they're saying is, rather than to be sitting there holding your shoulder or whatever's hurt on you and trying to play through it, the opposing teams or defensive period would rather you go on the ground and get somebody else on the field, because that is allowed in the rules of football, and you just can't second guess it. Now, if you know, I hate it, and I think it should be, you know, a foul if you could prove it. But how are you going to prove it?
Yeah,
you know,
that's the
first time you first time you throw one and a guy's really hurt, you know, and something happens, you know, it's going to cause a lot of trouble. So, you know, the fact of the matter was Notre Dame was gassed, and those injuries helped them out in the moment. But Georgia was still able to pull out the game, and at the end of the day, it didn't change anything.
Chip Towers of the AJC, we certainly appreciate all of your hard work here at 960 and always enjoy having you on, I guess, Thursdays right now during the football season. But let me ask before I let you go, the work never stops, but I'm sure you're excited about an off week. What does Chip Towers do this coming Saturday?
Well, I'm looking forward to a Saturday of college football.
Yeah.
You know, I miss college football Saturdays.
Of course.
I know it sounds funny during the season, but, you know, you just don't get to sit around and watch a bunch of football. You think maybe I'd want to get away from it, but I actually am looking forward to watching some of the games this weekend. And, you know, Georgia's got Tennessee coming up next week, and that's going to be really interesting. So I'm already looking ahead at that a little bit. It is incredible, guys. I've been studying Tennessee a little bit about how bad that program has been since 2010 in particular, and in the 2000s. What a cautionary tale for all programs, you know, that certainly one that's been as powerful as that one to get down as far as they are at this moment in time. Really, really incredible. But as y'all know, you know, a dangerous, dangerous place to go up there and play all the time, and you don't want them to get well against you. So I'll be studying up on Tennessee all weekend, Logan. That's what
Excellent.
I'll be doing.
Well, we're looking forward to all the fruits of that labor, to read that at AJC.com. And as always, thanks for your time, and we'll catch up with you next week on Tennessee Week.
See you then.
All right, see you, bud. Chip Towers of the AJC.
TheAJC.com, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.